Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Lamed Zayin. We are at the Mishnah, which is 8 lines off the top of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Shoyer Shehu Mu'ad Lamina. A shoyer is known to attack any animal of the same type. So all his contemporaries, his colleagues. So he's known to strike at his fellow oxen. But he doesn't touch other types of animals. Or mu'ad la'adam, ve'einoy mu'ad la'behema. He's known to strike at people. He attacks Adam, but he doesn't attack behemoths. Or in the third case, mu'ad la'ktanim, ve'einoy mu'ad la'gdolim. He's known to harm small-sized, non-assuming animals, but big, intimidating ones, he doesn't start with. The halacha is, eshu mu'ad la'i. So those who he is known to attack, regarding those, he's labeled as a mu'ad. And therefore, mishalim, nezek shal, pays 100%. Ve'esh she'ene mu'ad la'i, however, to those who he's not considered a mu'ad, mishalim chatzi nezek, he pays only half. Omru lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's students asked him, what about a case like this? Harez mu'ad l'shabbosos, ve'einu mu'ad l'chol. On Shabbos, when he's not being put to work, he's on vacation, he's all full of himself, and he's ready to attack. So he's known to do that on Shabbos. Ve'einu mu'ad l'chol. But during weekdays, he's pretty much passive. What is his status? Omru lahem, he says exactly that. L'shabbos is mishal nezek shal. If he strikes on Shabbos, he's immured, full liability. But during the weekdays, he's called a tam, which generates chatzin nezek. A masai hu tam. So this shoyer, who has been labeled a Shabbos mu'ad, how does he lose? How do we revoke that mu'ad status? If he behaves 3 times on Shabbos, Mishiachsur by Gimel Yimei Shabbosos. So, 3 Shabbosim, where he was confronted with animal, and he didn't attack. So now his mu'ad status is revoked. So the Mishnah gave us several examples where a shoyer is known to be violent with respect to one category, one type, but not to the other. We have a machlekes. Itmar, Rav Zvid Amar, ve'einoy mu'ad tanan. The default assumption is, if you're a mu'ad for one thing, you're a mu'ad for something else. If you're known to be violent, you're violent all around. So stama is a mu'ad for everything. The Mishnah is speaking when he was proven not to be a mu'ad for the other thing. Ve'ein a mu'ad etzanan. He's only a mu'ad for his type of animal, but we know for a fact he's being confronted with others and he doesn't respond violently. In that case, we say he has a split personality. He's immured for one thing, not for the other. But if it's not been proven as such, we assume he's immured all around. Rav Papa Amar, he disagrees. Ein immured tanan. No. If you're immured for one thing, that's what you're immured for. You're not necessarily immured for everything else. Ein immured tanan. The Mishnah is simply stating a fact, the halacha. He's a mu'ad for this, means he's not a mu'ad for that. And the Gemara explains, Rav Zvid Amar, ve'eini mu'ad tanan. He's known not to be a mu'ad, that's the case, ha'stama, but otherwise, we assume he is, have a mu'ad. Rav Papa Amar, eini mu'ad tanan, which means the stama will have a mu'ad, unless proven otherwise, we assume that he's a mu'ad only for those which he has been known to be a mu'ad for. Now, Rav Zvid, dayek misef. He sourced his halacha from the second part of the Mishnah. Rav Papa Daik Mireish. Papa came from the first part of the Mishnah. How? Rav Zvid Daik Misefa Diktani. The Mishnah says, in the third example, Mu'ad Diktani Mu'ad Diktanim Ve'ne Mu'ad Diktanim. So the animal is known to be violent with respect to small-sized opponents, but not with respect to large, intimidating ones. That's the Mishnah. Now, I amrus b'shlema ve'eni mu'ad katani. It certainly will work if the Mishnah meant to say that we know for a fact it was established that he was not a mu'ad for the G'dayla. That's why he's treated as such. That's why he's not a mu'ad, because we know he's not. Hastama, right? But otherwise, well, what's the baseline assumption? Hastama, you have a mu'ad. He would be a mu'ad. So if that's what the Mishnah is telling us, it sounds right, because HaKamash Pond, the Mishnah is not teaching us that filu miktanim l'gdoilim namim mistam avi mu'ad. That the running assumption is that even if he's only established as a mu'ad for k'tanim, it applies to g'dayim as well, which is a chiddush. Right? Don't think he's intimidated from the g'dayim. No, if he's violent, he's violent all around. Ele amros eni mu'ad k'tani. However, the point of the Mishnah is simply to state a fact to teach us. A mu'ad for k'tanim is not a mu'ad for g'dayim. E amros eni mu'ad k'tani stama loy have a mu'ad, that the stam is that he's not a mu'ad. That's the point of the Mishnah. Why even mention this? Hashta yeshleim miktanim l'ktanim da'am. Once we discussed a similar case in the first, in the first example, if he's a mu'ad for his types of animal, that means he's not a mu'ad for other types, even though they're both the same size. Miktanim l'ktanim da'am stam levi mu'ad. His stam is that he's not a mu'ad just because he's violent for the k'tanim here. Of his type doesn't mean he's going to be violent with respect to k'tanim of a different type of animal. So once we know that, even though they're both the same size, they have a similar element, still you can't draw conclusions from one to the other. Certainly if they're larger in size, of course, a totally different league. Miktanim gdolim tzrichel lememed levim mu'ad. Why does Mishnah even have to mention that when he's a mu'ad for small ones, he's not going to be a mu'ad for big ones? Of course. Rapapa Amalach, Rapapa responds, Istrich, yeah, there's a point in bringing out this halach. There's a chiddush. Talking to the Chachamim, perhaps I would say, Hoyel v'paratz be'ba'omina. Paratz be. Once he's been proven to be violent with respect to his own type of animals, paratz be. Let's assume he's just, all out. Leshnag doylim, the day, Leshnag tamid day, whether they're large, oxen or small ones. That's what I would think. Within the same category of animals, within the same class, why would we differentiate? Kamash Mon Dachidish is not. Lev and Mu'ad. Size is a factor. Larger animals, more intimidating. Who says he'll pick a fight with a large animal? So Rav Zvid had a diyuk, which Rav Papa responded to. Rav Papa, on the other hand, Daik and Reish. He proves his point from the first part of the Mishnah. Tani, the Mishnah says, Mu'ad la'adam, eini mu'ad la'behema. If you're a mu'ad for a man to strike against Adam, you're not a mu'ad for striking animals. I'am rasbishlam, eini mu'ad t'nan. So certainly if the Mishnah meant to say, ahalacha, mu'ad for Adam is not a mu'ad for behema, stomale have a mu'ad, right? Hakamash mon, the chiddush of the Mishnah, that will be, da'filu mu'adam behema nami. Stomale have a mu'ad. This is a big chiddush. Even if he's known to strike at people, and a person is harder to attack. Rashi says, a person has a mazel, has a malach, protection. Still, the animal goes and hits him. But his mu'ad status is limited to Adam and not to behemoth. That's a chiddush. Eli amras ve'ene mu'ad ketani. However, says Rav Papa, the Mishnah meant to say, now we know for a fact that he was not a mu'ad for behemoth. It's proven. He was confronted with behemoth, so he didn't attack. But unless it's established as such, we assume the running assumption is, default assumption is, ha'stam have a mu'ad. Being a mu'ad la'adam automatically makes him a mu'ad for behemah as well. How could you say that? Once you've already told me that from one animal to the other, even a different min, stama is a mu'ad, as per Rav Zvid's halacha, right? Whether it's this min or that min, the assumption is, unless proven otherwise, you're a mu'ad for everything. Certainly, if he's already a mu'ad for an Adam, which is a more challenging opponent, do we need to even tell me that he's a mu'ad for behemoth? Of course he is. So Rav Papa is sort of asking now, Rav Zvid, how can you say that stama is a mu'ad? Because if you do that, the Mishnah will be difficult to understand. What's the point of the Mishnah? Rav Zvid Amalach, Rav Zvid will respond to this kasha. You're right. The Mishnah is not coming to tell you that when you're a mu'ad la'adam, you're automatically assumed to be a mu'ad la'bahim. That's pashut. This first part of the Mishnah is actually discussing a different case. How to revert. How we revoke the mu'ad status as follows. If you're going to have a mu'ad la'adam, a mu'ad la'bahim, suppose he was an established mu'ad for everything. According to Rav Zvid, it's always that way. You're established for one, you're established for the other. Okay, so he's been labeled as mu'ad for everything. Now he's doing teshuva. He's trying to turn the clock back to lose the mu'ad status. The koyig of a behemoth lost his zimni v'lenogach. He was confronted with a behemoth three times. He held his fire. So he loses the mu'ad status with respect to behemoth, right? But it's a chiddush, and that's the point of the mission. Ma'od the tema. Perhaps I would say, kibud leihoda be'mi adam. Since he hasn't proven that he is no longer going to attack people, we know that he's no longer attacking behemoths, right? But we see that he's still violent with people. So I would say perhaps his whole, you know, his whole rectification process is null and void. You're still violent for people. Chazor de behemoth lam chazori. If you're still violent with respect to humans, perhaps your chazorah for behemoth is worthless. The fact that you're behaving with respect to animals is not reckoned with, because you're still maintaining bad behavior for with respect to humans. K'mashman the chiddush is yeah. The chazorah the behemoth miyah chazorah. It's partial repentance. It's partial tshuva. So that's the point of the Mishnah. Even though he's still maintaining the mu'ad status for other mu'ads, he does chazorah. He proves that he's going back from mu'ad of behemoth. He's no longer striking at animals. So we check that off, or we X that. He's no longer a mu'ad of behemoth. That's the point of the Mishnah. Meisvei. Here comes a kasha on Rav Zvid, who says that when you're a mu'ad for one type, you're automatically for the other, unless proven otherwise, as opposed to Rav Papa, who says you have to prove you're a mu'ad for everything. Meisvei comes a kasha on Rav Zvid. Simchus Emer. So in the Brisa, we have a sheet of Simchus who disagrees with the Tanakh Kama. Mu'ad la'adam, mu'ad la'mehem. M'kavachem. If he's a mu'ad for Adam, he's automatically a mu'ad for behemoth, based on a kavachem. Ma'al la'adam, mu'ad. If he's liable to strike at people, or more difficult to attack. Mu'ad l'behemah l'koshkin? Of course, he's a mu'ad for behemah. That is Simchas Shita. Now, Mechlal the Tanakama, any mu'ad kama? Apparently, Tanakama disagrees, right? There's machlekes. Mu'ad l'adam is not automatically a mu'ad l'behemah. That's a kasha on Rav Zvid, who says that when you're mu'ad for one, you're automatically for everything. Amalek Rav Zvid responds, No. This price is not discussing how to establish the mu'ad status. All agree that once you've established mu'ad for one thing, it covers everything. Amalek Rav Zvid, the Simchas Achazorei Kai. Oh, just like we said before, we're speaking about reverting, going back, canceling the mu'ad status. Achazorei Kai. V'achik Amalek L'Tanakam. And Simchas turns to the Tanakam and says, the Kamas Chazorei De Behemah Chazorei. In a situation where he's a mu'ad for other behemoth, and now he establishes himself as a non-mu'ad for behemoth, he's confronted with animals, he doesn't strike. According to Tanakama, he loses his mu'ad status, at least with respect to animals. On that, Simchas disagrees. It can't work like that. Chazorah de behemoth, love chazorah. You know why? Mekavachem ima adam. From a kavachem. Uma ma'adam leka mahadar behemoth lekoshke. He's not yet backing off from people who are more difficult to attack. He's still going at it. How can you suggest that he lost his mu'ad status for animals? So he disagrees with this sort of chazara point. Amar Vashi Toshma. Here comes another raya now, two Rav Zvid. Okay, this is going to be a raya, two Rav Zvid. That stama is a mu'ad for everything. Amar Lefnei Rabbi Yehuda. This is our Mishnah, right? Where the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yehuda, "Is a mu'ad l'shabbosos?" What if he's a mord for Shabbos, not for the weekdays, right? Amar Lahan, he says, the Shabbos is Misham Nezek Sholem, on Shabbos he pays Nezek Sholem, the Meisachol, Misham Chatzi Nezek, weekdays is Chatzi Nezek. Now, how do we learn the Mishnah? Two ways to learn it, right? Is it just a circumstantial presentation, or is it a halacha? So if it's just circumstantial, meaning, tell me the master of Yehuda. Rabbi, let's say he's a mord for Shabbos, not for the weekdays, what happens? So it's just a factual presentation. Ve'ini mord is not halacha. Ve'ini mord means, factually speaking, he's established himself as a well-behaved animal during the weekdays. Yamas b'shlami ve'ini mord k'tani, shiyuli, who do come shadi lay. So that's exactly what happened. They asked him this question. Rabbi, he's a mord here but not here, what happens? And now it makes sense that he responded to them. Look, the halach is such and such, right? Eli amrus eini mord katani. But if eini mord in the Mishnah means we're stating a halacha. You're a mord for this means you're not a mord for that. Period. It's a halacha. Agmuri who the kumagamri lay. Does it make sense that his talmidim were teaching their rebbe a halacha that he's a mord for this and not for that? Right? If they're telling him a story, mord means behavioral. He's a exhibiting mord behavior here and not here, what is the halacha? Okay, so it makes sense. This is the question. And then he came back and answered the halacha. But if they're going like Rav Zvid, like Rav Papa, that the words ve'ini mord in the Mishnah means halachically, status-wise, label-wise, he's not a mord for that, so the Talmidim are teaching the Rebbe the halacha? V'su, next question. Ihu ma'ikum ahadalhu. Once they told their Rebbe that he's a mord here, not here, halachically, why is he responding in kind? He's pretty much repeating what they're saying. So it's a raya to Rav Zvid that when the Mishnah says ve'ini mord, it means that he's known not to be violent with respect to the other types, right? But otherwise, unless proven otherwise, he's given the mord status for everything. Amar Aviyani Mireshanami Deika. We can have a similar diyuk from the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Es shemod loy mishalom nezek shol, ve'es sheni mod loy mishalom chatzi nezek." So for the things that he's a mod, nezek shol. Otherwise, chatzi nezek. Now, yamas b'shleim ve'ni mod ketani. So this makes very much sense if when the Mishnah says, let's say, you know, he's a mod for Adam and did not exhibit violent behavior for behema. It's just factual first. What happens now? The Mishnah responds, you should know. For the more thing, it's 100%. For the other thing, it's 50%. Pirush Shigum HaFarash. So the Mishnah is explaining what the halacha will be in that case. Eli Amar says, Eini Mord Katani. But the Mishnah, by using the words Eini Mord, they're stating halacha. You should know. It's a fact. When he's a mord for this, he is not treated as a mord for that. Paska. It's an established halacha. Shown to the point. Done. So why is the Mishnah going back and explaining that again? My su, what's the point of repeating? As shemud loy pay sham nezek sholem, v'sheinim mud loy sham chatzi nezek. Don't we really know that? You already told me this is mud. This is tam. We know that a mud pays right and tam. And hashal yashminon. Don't we until this point haven't we already learned this halacha that there are different rates that tam pays sham chatzi nezek and mud sham nezek sholem. Okay, so this is a raya to Rav Zvid's approach to the mission. Vimtum Tzalayma, you know, even if you'll insist, Intum Tzalayma Nam Yisla Rav Papa, they go over Rav Papa's halacha, that stoma is not a mord for everything unless you establish yourself as such. But there is a way to become a mord for all animals. Vimtum Tzalayma Yisla Rav Papa, so in the following case, where he's Nogach Shoyer, an animal went on a rampage, right? He had a shoyer, a chamor, a donkey, a goat, and a camel. So now, he's shown that he's not discriminating. He's totally violent, covering all classes of animals, nasa mod lakoyel, we assume. He doesn't discriminate between animals, and he's going to hit everything and anyone, and therefore he's a mod for all different types. Ton Rabban. So speaking of such, we have like this. Ra shor nagach. An animal notices a bull, attacks him. Shor le-nagach. Next time he sees a bull, he does not attack. He refrains. Third time, shor nagach. Fourth time he sees a shor le-nagach. So he's establishing sort of a pattern. One up, one down. Shor nagach, shor lo nagach. So now he has a track record of sort of zigzagging. Nasa mu'ad l'seirugin l'shvara. He established a zigzag pattern with respect to bulls. So every other time he's confronted with a bull, he's liable to attack. And he's a mu'ad for that. But for all the ones in between, he's not a mu'ad. For those he pays chatzin hesek. Tanur haponim. It gets more exciting. Ruah shor, first time he sees a shor nagach. Chamar, he sees a donkey loy nagach. He holds back. Sus, a horse nagach. Gamal, a camel loy nagach. Parrot, a mule nagach. Aroy, the wild donkey loy nagach. So now, he's known to attack every other time. And each time it was a different type of animal. Nasa mu'ad l'sirugin l'kur. Beautiful. So he becomes a mu'ad with respect to sirugin, this sort of zigzag pattern, with respect to all animals. Because it's all, he attacks all different types of animals, so we don't differentiate. Iboilu becomes a question. Nogach shor. Let's say he gores a shor, then again a shor, and then again a shor. So far it's only a mu'ad for bulls, right? But then he adds two more. Chamar v'gamal. So it was shor, chamar v'gamal. Mao, how do we treat this? Shall we say, so far, he's only a mu'ad for shors, because he only had three shors, right? He didn't have three chamars and three gamals. Neither did he have a sampling of three different types of animals, because the third shor sort of relates back to the first two. It's a set of three. And so far, he only had two other animals, chavar and gamal. Maos, how do we treat it? Shai shor basra, this third shor, basa shvarim shadin ulay, do we connect it to the previous two shvarim, bakatel shvarim udiyay, which makes it a set of three for shvarim, a mu'ad for that. Limi dachin ulayayay, but not for the other types of animals, because he hasn't yet established a record of three other animals. Oidilma, or, hai shor basra, the third shor, basa chamar v'gamal shadin ulay, we'll connect it to chamar v'gamal, which gives us a sampling of his behavior with respect to all types of animals, right? Three different animals. But yaida, the kulimini, now he's a mood for all types. Or another question. Chamar v'gamal shor shor v'shor. Here it's a bit more complicated because actually, here it's a bit easier to understand that the shor can now relate to the chamar and the gamal. You know why? Because in the previous case, the third shor was coming after two shvarim. So, you know, there's room to think that that shor connects to the previous. But here, he started with a chamar, the gamal, then he went to a shor. So at this point, the shor is sort of number three of this random sampling of animals. But then he went ahead and he added another two shvarim, shor v'shor. So perhaps they sort of bring the shor back to them, and now he doesn't have a true sampling of all the animals. He only has chamar and gamal, because the three shors are on their own. Mao, higher shor, comma, the first shor of three. Basra, chamar, v'gamal, shadin, we connected to chamar, v'gamal. So for a total of a proper sampling of three animals, which gives him a mu'ad status for all animals in the world, v'yayidle, l'kula, minyay, dilma, or basra, shvarim, shadin, we connect the first shor to the last two. So he doesn't really have a true sampling of the other animals. He only has two. Akatil, shvarim, v'yayid, l'minachinu, l'yayid, he's only a mu'ad for shvarim, not for other animals. Another question. He's known to strike on Shabbos, and again on Shabbos, for Shabbos, and then Sunday and Monday. Ve'echad b'Shabbos, she'en b'Shabbos. So, question, is he only a mu'ad for Shabbos, because he had three? Or is he a mu'ad for all days of the week, because he had Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday? Mao. How do we treat the third Shabbos? Ha Shabbos basrais is last Shabbos. Basar Shabbos is shadin. They were connected to the previous two Shabbos, which leaves him as a mu'ad for Shabbos only. Ve'akati l'Shabbos u'di yayid, but not for weekdays. L'mayz ha'chol yayid, edilma basar echad b'Shabbos, v'she'en b'Shabbos, she'en b'Shabbos, she'en b'Shabbos. Or perhaps the third Shabbos connects to Sunday and Monday, which gives us a true sampling, a random sampling of weeks, of days, which makes him a mu'ad v'yayid l'kul yayim for all days. Another Shaila. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Shabbos. Hey, v'Shabbos, v'erev Shabbos, v'Shabbos. So far, so good. He has three random days. But then he tops it off with two more Shabboses. Shabbos, v'Shabbos. So now perhaps we lose the sampling. Mao, how Shabbos comes? The first of the three Shabbos is Bosar Hey B'Shabbos Ve'erev Shabbos Masadin Alei. We connect it to the Thursday and the Friday. So we have a true sampling of all types of days. V'yayid Lukul Yom becomes a mod for all days of the week. Oidum or how Shabbos comes? The first of the three Shabbos is now connected to the following two Shabbos. Bosar Shabbos Hudu Shadin Alei. We connect it to the last two Shabbos. So he has three Shabbases, but that's about it. Well, Shabbases, he becomes a Mu'ad, who the Yai, not for weekdays, take it, we leave all these questions unresolved. Here comes another interesting question. Noga Akshur, Yom Tezva B'Chodesh, Zeh. So he attacked an animal, day 15 of Nisan, V'yom Tezayin B'Chodesh Zeh, day 16 of Iyar, V'yom Yudzayin B'Chodesh Zeh, day 17 of Sivan. So he's establishing himself as a medallic. Right? So every month he goes one ahead. So you would say perhaps he's a mu'ad to do that. So he's liable to strike at Yud Ches Tammuz. But the thing is, he only really followed this jumping pattern twice, because the first time wasn't really a jump from any previous episode. The baseline was Tesvav Nisan. Tes Zayin Iyar was a jump ahead. Yud Zayin Sivan was a jump ahead. So do we need another jump, Yud Ches Tammuz, to make it a Mu'ad with respect to Diluk? Or do we say, no, once we have three in a set, that's enough? It's Machlokes, spoke to the Rav Shmuel. With respect to Anida, the Itma, we learned, Rasa Yom Tesvav B'Chodesh Zeh, Anisha, experiences Dam Tesvav Nisan. V'yem Tes Zayin B'Chodesh Zeh, Tes Zayin Iyar. V'yem Yud Zayin B'Chodesh Zeh, 17 of Sivan. Rav Amar Kavala Vest. She's now established a pattern for herself, and there are all kinds of halachas. Now we no longer suspect that she saw dam different days. She has a din of a vest because it's a three, episode pattern. Shmuel Amar no, Anshat is shalish bediluk. You only establish this diluk pattern if you jump three times. So the first time doesn't count. You haven't jumped yet. You haven't gone ahead of any previous incident. So you need the baseline, which is 15 of Nisan, as a trigger point. 16 of Iyar, that's number one. 17 of Sivan, number two. And then it Ches B'Tamud, that's number three. Likewise, by the Shor, we follow the same system. Amar Rabba, Shoma Kol Shefer V'Nagach. The animal hears the sound of a Shefer, and he attacks. Again, Kol Shefer V'Nagach. Again, Kol Shefer V'Nagach, Nasa Mod L'Sheferas. He's liable to strike when he hears a sheif. Pshito, obviously. Ma'od the tema, perhaps I would say, not so simple. Hach sheifer, come up. Perhaps the first episode wasn't really a reflection of his nature. It was just a fright. Siyuta ba'amu denakti. He was gripped by fear. It's not really a true reflection of his nature. Kamash one, the chiddush says, no, we see a pattern. And we know a sheifer will trigger an attack. Continues the mission. Shor shel Yisrael, shenagach shor shel hekdesh. A shor of a private Yisrael strikes at a shor belonging to the Hegdash, the Beis Hamikdash. Or, Shal Hegdash, an animal belonging to Hegdash strikes at a common person's animal. Shenagach shor shel Hegdash pot. There's no liability. Shenemar, the pasuk in describing liability and attacks, says, Shor Eyu, attacking the animal of your colleague, of your friend. V'loi shor shel Hegdash, as opposed to Hegdash, there's no chiyuvim. Shor shel Yisrael, shenagach shor shel Knani, a goisha, animal attacked by a Yisrael animal, potter, you don't pay, shel Knani, on the other hand, you pay. Shenagach shor shel Yisrael, a Knani's animal, a goy animal strikes a shor of Yisrael, you pay full payment irrespective of the labeling of the tam or the mu'ad. Bein tam, bein mu'ad, b'shalom, l'dekshalom, there are no discounts. Now, the Mishnah which says that when you strike at a hegdish animal, you're potter, mas nisen, d'loy kerb shemim ninasya. It's not following this opinion, it's sanya. Shor shel Hegdash. Shenagach shor shel hekdesh, or the shor shel hekdesh. Shenagach shor shel hekdesh pot. Right, that's the Mishnah. Shenamar shor eyu v'shor shel hekdesh has to be a contemporary. Shem nasi aimer, it depends. It's a one-way street. Shor shel hekdesh. Shenagach shor shel hekdesh pot. But shel hekdesh. If my animal strikes hekdesh's animal, shenagach shor shel hekdesh, you pay big time. Bein tam bein mud, whether it's a tam or a mud, I pay 100%. Mishal nedek shol. So there's a different opinion than our Mishnah. Now, how could that be? Amri. So the question was like this. Maikah Sover Rab Shimon. You know, this halacha is based on something. It's based on Re'eyu, right? So, what is Rab Shimon's approach? E Re'eyu Dafka. If we focus on Re'eyu, Afilu Shal Hedid, Shunagah Shal Hedid, the potter. So don't discriminate. Just like when Hegdash strikes, he's potter. I strike Hegdash, I'm also potter. This whole formula doesn't apply. E Re'eyu La Dafka. If we don't focus on Re'eyu, I feel the Hegdash Nami. So likewise, even if Hegdash strikes, Kinaga Hedid, Hegdash animal strikes a Hedid, L'chayiv pay. How could you have it one way and not the other? Chitayim L'olim Kosav Re'eyu Dafka. Perhaps you'll say, Re'eyu is specific. this whole system of tam mu'ud only applies to re'eyu. Umiyu, the hegdish cannot get the hegdish. So when hegdish strikes, it's potter. No, it's not a re'eyu. But when I strike hegdish, you have to pay. Hainu tami mechayv. You know why I pay? Mishum nukam ma'islam kavachemer the hegdish, because we learn it through kavachemer from an ordinary person. Umay did the nagash shel hegdish chayv. If ruins animal tax, shimon's animal, you have to pay. Kinogach the hegdish like koshke the mechayv. Doesn't that lend to reason if you tax hegdish? Hegdish, of course you pay. That's Reb Shimon's rationale. Well, says the Gemara, you can't say that. Dayoi, love him in adin, the eskenidim. We know that when we learn something, we derive something, it can't be greater than the source, it can be more serious than the source. So if you're learning from a hedid, you have to follow the hedid's formula. Tom pays 50% only, no more. Malal, just like over there, Tom, chatzi nezek, and no more. Here's one when you strike hegdish, chatzi nezek, and no more. How can you suggest you pay nezek shal? So what is Reb Shimon's reason? Elam Rishlag, I'll tell you the reason. Hakoyl hoyu b'chlal nezek shol. The Torah would not say the word re'eyu. What would I say? Whether I strike hegdish as a tam, I strike it as a mu'ud, I pay nezek shol, right? Right. So the Torah would not tell us that there is a concept of a tam getting a 50% discount, right? You'd pay 100%. Kshepard lecha kosev re'eyu gabe tam. But now the Torah introduces the concept of a tam paying 50%. And as the word re'eyu, re'eyu only says by tam, not by mu'ud. I learned from here that the discount only applies to re'eyu. So the word re'eyu, according to Reb Shimon Manasseh, is machmer. It's coming to make it stricter. Re'eyu is the only fellow who gets a discount of a tam. Re'eyu who the tam mishalom chatzi nezek. But if you're not re'eyu, if you strike at hegdish, mechlal, the hegdish, bein tam, bein mu'ud, mishalom nezek shalom. Why? How do I know that it came? Because the point was that if I strike at hegdish, I'm always potter, nichtev kra, lahay re'eyu, gabi mu'ud. And the pasuk would say the word re'eyu by mu'ud, not by tam. You see, it only says re'eyu by tam, not by mu'ud. So Reb Shimon Manasseh learns. The Torah is coming to you, machmer, I mean. The tam, 50% discount, only applies to re'eyu, my colleague. But when it comes to hegdish, it's always 100%. But as Rashi points out, if hegdish is mazik, a hedyot, it's certainly potter, because the pasuk says, b'vod beva olav, the owner was put at, you know, notice, the pasuk uses the word, ki sharish, a man's animal, and hegdish doesn't have all these things, and therefore, hegdish that strikes at a hedyot is potter. Okay, it's in summation. We have a Mishnah with three examples of, various behavioral distinctions. He's a mu'ud for one thing, not for the other. Minoy, eine minoy, adam, and behemok, tanam, and gdolim. We have machlokes in the Gemara. What does the Mishnah mean to say? Kondra papa, eine mu'ud tanan. You're only a mu'ud for what? You're a mu'ud, nothing else. Rav Ziv said, no. Kondra zvid stama, you are a mu'ud unless you've established that you're not. We have halacha of Shabbos on weekdays. We have halacha of random samplings, which makes you a mu'ud for everything. We have all kinds of questions regarding variations of these combinations and in terms of how you become a mu'ud for all these types of things. We have the halacha of dilug, jumping around days, how many times you need for that. We have halacha of shofar. And we have the shor of Yisrael versus shor shel hegdish. Going to the Mishnah, hegdish is always potter, Yisrael is always potter as well. We're going to Shem Manasya. Yisrael, shenagach shor shel hegdish. There's no ptur of tam. Therefore, it's always nezek shalom. Psura seivis and hatzlacha rabbi to you.